glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. He calls each sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out his own, he goes ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. The voice of strangers they run from, because they will not follow them because they do not know the stranger's voice." Now, Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they didn't understand it. So again he said, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. Those who have come before me are thieves and bandits, and the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me is saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief, he only comes to steal and kill and destroy. But I came so that they may have life and have it abundantly." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Now I invite the children to head out for a word for children. What's the name of the book again? The Lion and the Bird. I was going to say The Lion and the Lamb. But Miss Laurie is going to read The Lion and the Bird and also the story of the Good Shepherd. And if anybody's new to this, they're just right outside in the narthex in those big burgundy soft chairs or on the floor around them. Have you ever heard the saying, it's like trying to herd a bunch of cats? It's kind of a euphemism for something is impossible. Just this last week, I happened to just be kind of going through the channels, and I saw that Mythbusters was on. And I just got curious, and they were doing a whole segment on kind of these things that are supposedly impossible. So they took on trying to herd cats. And it was so cute. They went someplace where there's somebody that actually trains people how to herd sheep and such. And so they go there and they get three or four sheep and they watch how somebody herds them just by walking around them. And so then they each, there's two guys that are doing this, right? I don't know their names. But they just walk them around, and it's pretty easy. You know, a couple of times they'll have to move a little bit, but the sheep just kind of stay in the pack, and if you want them to go that way, well, you get over here, and they go that way. And they kind of let them down this pasture through a gate and then back into the corner. No problem. So then they went and set up a kind of an indoor area, kind of like an arena, and they had this little makeshift corral that had it was a pretty big opening on it. And then they let four cats loose in there and tried to herd them. Herd, H-E-R-D, not H-U-R-T, in case my enunciation isn't so, H-E-R-D, herd them. And it was interesting. They tried all kinds of combinations. First, they just tried to do it by themselves. Didn't work. I think then they kind of came up with different schemes. One tried to entice them with little cat toys and catnip. Didn't work. Maybe got one to come, but just didn't work. The other one kind of used umbrellas to try to kind of scare them. And it sort of worked. Almost got two in, but then they bolted. And then they got a sheepdog. Because, I mean, yeah, that should work. Cats don't like dogs, right? And the sheepdog was well-trained and did every command that they told it to. But boy, every one of those cats, it's just like, you know, like the hair was raised and hissing. It's like they were not moving. Boy, they were fighting back. Anyway, they kind of established it's pretty impossible to herd cats. Now, so what does that have to do with the gospel? Sometimes, as a pastor, coming in. Yeah, sometimes shepherd a congregation is like trying to herd cats. And I must confess, there are times when I wish y'all were just a bunch of sheep. It would be so easy. I mean, you're just kind of clumped together. You know, if I want you to go that direction, I just kind of give you a nudge and, oh, okay. And so, and with this metaphor, I mean, if you are sheep, then if I'm a good shepherd, then it all just works, doesn't it? But I think, like every metaphor, there are limits. And when I think back, this is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, right? When I think back to Luther's time, the church was pretty much like a bunch of sheep. They trusted, you might say, or recognized that the church was the one that was going to guide them. And they were told that the things that the church told them were commands from God, that this was the voice of Jesus speaking to them. And it kind of worked, but then, of course, if you know the story of Luther, there were some things that just didn't work. In particular, he was trying to find the safety and security that sheep should have if they have a good shepherd. But instead, he was tormented over and over because all he knew from the church was fear and the threat of eternal damnation. And so this sheep called Martin Luther actually became a cat. He became a cat in the sense that when he found in Scripture those words that talked about God's grace and God's love and God's forgiveness and how God's desire for us was the abundant life, and he held it up to what was being told to him was the voice of God, the Word of God, he said, I don't recognize that as the voice of God. What had happened in that flock, and it was a pretty large flock, is the shepherd had somehow been distracted, we go a little bit harsher, corrupted, perverted, was about things that were not in the interest of the flock. Reminds me, a couple of months ago, we had the Turkish community over here for a fundraiser, and the speaker shared this poem that actually put him into jail at one point. And the poem was this: little sheep, if the shepherd is for you, there is nothing to fear. But if the shepherd is a wolf, there's nothing you can do. Little sheep, if the shepherd is for you, there's nothing to fear. But if the shepherd is a wolf, there's nothing you can do. And this goes straight to the gospel. Because in the gospel, Jesus is talking about a shepherd and thieves and bandits. The shepherd, the good shepherd, is one whose interest is in the flock, in the sheep, knows each one by names, loves them, provides for their security, provides for life for them, brings them to green pastures, protects them from enemies. In contrast are the thieves and the bandits, whose interest, they're interested in the sheep, but not the sheep's well-being. They're interested in their own, they're motivated by their own desire to achieve, succeed, get rich, go on. And so when you have a bunch of sheep, and the shepherd is not guided by the right motivations, there are problems. And I think this speaks to us today. Because with modern technology, the internet, TV, radio, texting, all that kind of stuff, you have access to so many voices. Everybody does. There's so many voices coming at us. How do we know which voices are really true? How do we know which voices are really interested in our well-being and not just pretending to be so that they can get something from us? To be a naive sheep today is dangerous, so dangerous. And yet, To be a cat off by your own, not trusting anybody, just doing whatever you want, I'm not sure that's the abundant life either. We live in that tension of wanting community, wanting to find friends and folks with us whom we can go with and we can trust the general movement. And yet, we have to be wise like serpents. We have to be cats. We have to be looking out for our own. What do we do? Going back to Luther, there's some words I used that raised alarms for him or helped him wonder about the voice that supposedly was God's voice coming through the church at that point. In those words, he wasn't hearing an underlying tone of grace. He wasn't hearing the timbre of faith, of love. He wasn't hearing the resonance of forgiveness. And he recognized that that was not the voice of God, not the voice that I know. Because when you read Scripture and you really want to know who Jesus was, these words keep coming up again. He loved, he healed, he forgave. He was grace incarnate, love incarnate. And if that's who Jesus was, that has to be who the voice of Jesus is. Now, when someone hears that voice, it's a revelation. Because we live lives where there's so much expected of us, where our very value is questioned all the time. It seems to be related to just if we make enough money or looking the right way or doing the right thing. But this voice of Jesus says, you are mine. I love you. I created you. No one will ever take that away. And when we get that, all of a sudden, the abundant life opens up. But there's a problem. How do we know that we're not hearing things? How do we know that that's true? If you want the abundant life, you need to be with people who are also listening for that same voice and who are constantly questioning and wondering with you, who can guide you and can say, I heard God's voice here. I read it in this passage. And together, to ongoingly be discerning who God is calling us to be, what God is calling us to do, being able to filter out all that other stuff that may have Christian all over it, but actually is an accusing finger that uses fear. And so that inviting, loving word of graciousness that Jesus calls out to us. As I was trying to think, yeah, how do you kind of try to capture this tension between being a bunch of sheep and yet having the wisdom and the criticality or the wondering of cats and the individuality? And I came up with what we need to be is a flock of cats. We need to be a flock of cats. It's like, wait a second, cats don't flock. I'm saying that's about the best I can do. Together, we don't lose our individuality. We don't lose the ability to read and discern. But it has to be a conversation with others so that our own blinders don't get in the way and that we don't go down some path that actually leads us away from the abundant life into a life where we're doing harm to ourselves and harm to others, where we're taken advantage of and become victims. The abundant life actually is being a flock of cats. The abundant life is available to us. This abundant life that Jesus promises, it shows up when you get that dream job and all of a sudden you have all the money that you need and you rejoice and give thanks to God that has been provided. And the abundant life shows up when that job is taken away from you. Your financial security is called into question. And yet you know that you're part of a community and in touch with a God that loves you and is still with you and will get you through those hard times. That's what the abundant life is that God offers to us. It's the same kind of abundant life that when we baptize a child and rejoice in a new birth and give thanks for the way that God is constantly creating and giving life. And so also, when we're in the depths of mourning over the loss of a loved one and trying to envision a future of someone whom we just felt would always be there with us, and in the midst of that grief, as we gather, sing those songs of faith, hear the words of eternal life from our Savior, we know that we're not alone in so many levels. And yeah, the pain may be so hard, but that abundant life of joy and peace is flowing underneath it. This is the abundant life that God gives us. It's also the abundant life that we celebrate when we go and watch a hockey game of our young people or a track meet and rejoice in how healthy and strong and fast and quick their bodies are and give thanks to God for these gifts that we have, but also when we get 40 and 50 and 60 and 70 and maybe, thank God, even 90. And our bodies just don't work the way they used to. And we're confronted with our limitations. But then the grace of God, the voice of God says, you are no less. You are not defined by your body. You're defined because I have claimed you as one of mine. And that will never go away. And yes, you may not be able to skate on ice anymore, but your soul and your spirit are full and alive. This is the abundant life that we give thanks to God for. That voice of Jesus, inviting, loving, sharing, gracious, forgiving, but also challenging. Also challenging. Because the abundant life doesn't begin with your well-being and being part of a group that supports you. It also, just as Jesus gathers the sheep and leads them out, Jesus is the incarnation of being for others. And you cannot have the full abundant life until you overcome the fear of stepping out and sharing this abundant life with others. Yeah, it can be scary meeting strangers. But Jesus, over and over, so that, what's it saying? A stranger is just a friend you haven't gotten to know yet? It really is the case. There's so much out there that says, be afraid, be afraid, be afraid. We've met Turkish people. We've met First Nations people. We've met immigrants from Sudan, from Turkey, from Montenegro, from China, from Korea, from Egypt, from all over Africa, even from Scandinavia, Norwegians, and Danes, and Swedes. And oh my God, you've even taken the risk of relationship with a Texan. God bless you. But how did you know you took a risk? It was a huge risk. But look how abundance has flowered in your own lives and amongst us, because we heard the voice of God. And it said, yes, I love you, I love y'all, and also I love all of y'all, the whole world. The abundant life is that one where we hear that voice of God speak to us, and to us. Let us pray. God, thank you for knowing our name, for claiming us, each, every single one of us, as your own. Also, thank you for bringing us together so that your spirit may move and the hands and feet that you have all over the world made real for us, and your love is made real in so many tangible ways. Thank you for the gift of your flock. And also thank you for giving us the courage, the push, the invitation to find the abundant life out beyond these walls. Thank you for all the ways that you give us life. Lead us, guide us, love us. Amen.